well-known rapper coming out and being like, I stand for a presidential candidate. It's very strange to me. I can't think of the
Social
last time
Security is
somebody.
important to him because he's getting older, man. I mean, these things are important. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition. I guess this is our 10th. What do they call 10? Decennial or something like that? Decennialth episode? I don't know. It's got a name. Like centennial. Okay. All right. Yeah. It's the 10th episode of the Blue Sedition podcast. I'm Nate Brady.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Welcome to you, my co-host
Thank
Mike
you.
Smith. You've been dead, basically, the last few days.
Yeah, it's tough when your body starts falling apart at 40. So,
yeah,
I've had some issues that I'm working through, but I'm making it. I'm still fighting.
You have great.
I was
hair,
able
though.
To vote.
You
I was have, able to do my
you
early
voted.
Voting. So
okay,
I voted.
All right.
I said if I go to the grave, I want to have voted beforehand. So,
so you and Jimmy Carter, basically, you're in similar shape, but you both got to vote.
Jimmy's doing better than me.
I was going to say, one of you will be dead any day now, and it's not Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy's going to outlive me.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Well, a lot of stuff happened. Have you been keeping up with the stuff?
No, because I've been in bed, basically, and I haven't even been responding to you. My phone's been over there. I've just been dying. So I'm out of bed now, and I'm taking questions, and I'm ready for you
You're taking
to get
questions.
Me back up to speed.
Yeah, I'm
accepting questions at this time.
I mean, so much stuff has happened. I think Hitler's making a huge comeback.
Hitler's
making a huge comeback. We should probably talk about that. I guess I have some things lined up I want to talk about, but there's been some breaking news. So I'm kind of coming at this fresh too. I'm going to switch over. Let's go to, don't sign me in. Nobody's signing into CNN. So let's go over to this. I don't know if you've seen this breaking news here. The Justice Department warns Elon Musk that his $1 million giveaway to registered voters may be illegal. So I'll say before we dive too much into this, the commentary that I'm seeing on X and on other places is Merrick Garland alive? Is the dude around? Are we not doing anything about all the election interference that seems to be going on right now? Like, where is Merrick Garland?
We touched on this an episode or two ago. We were talking because Elon had just at that time started this, or at least claimed he was going to start this. And I guess over the last week or so, he's actually gone through with it and started handing out checks to people based on sort of a sweepstakes, like a giveaway to swing state voters who claim that they're, you know, first time voters. And I forget the specifics of it. It does sound like illegal electioneering to me. And I don't know why the headline reads
warns. Yeah.
And like possibly illegal. Like, it seems blatantly illegal. I would have used that if I were the DOJ. And instead of warns, I probably just would have arrested him. That would have been me.
Well, so, I mean, the specifics are important, right? So it turns out, I mean, at least Musk's reply is that there is no, you don't have to register to vote. There is no, this is to sign a petition claiming that you support the fucking First Amendment, Second Amendment. I don't know which amendments, probably just those first two. And you don't need to be a registered voter and you don't have to prove that you're voting. So that's his claim is that there, how could that be election interference?
Wait, so this is like those abstinence pledges the churches have you take when you're like 14, right?
Right.
You take the pledge. They give you a cookie or something, and you go have sex anyway because...
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah. So this is...
So he's just saying, if you're going to go have sex, do it the way that I want you to, not the way I don't want you to.
Right. I mean, it's really just the publicity stuff, right? It's like, oh, we're going to win millions of dollars. Oh, look at the liberals. They're so mad. Oh, you know, that seems to be what this is. So when I see the messaging as warning, this may be illegal... I mean, if it were illegal, I think you're right. I don't think it would have that kind of messaging around it. Look, you're the Department of Justice. You know, you know whether this is illegal or it isn't illegal. Like, say so.
Yeah, and I feel like, illegality aside, I mean, obviously the hypocrisy runs deep. If Oprah or George Soros, were to do it on the other side, it would be, this is the most illegal, obvious electioneering effort we've ever seen in this country from the right. They would just be yelling at nonstop.
I mean,
you can't do this on the left and then have anything but the news run with your electioneering and, you know, for the entire election cycle.
Yeah, I mean, no, you're
so why does the right get to get away with this? Why does Elon get to do this?
So if it's legal, then yeah, I mean, both sides are getting away with it because it's legal. But the fact that the hypocrisy is, yeah, it's totally insane. George Soros has been the literal boogeyman for the last, you know, several decades, right?
Yeah, vilified, really.
He's funding at every demonstration that happens, every political position, every, you know, if Dunkin' Donuts is making a statement, a political statement, it's because George Soros paid them, right? But now Elon is dumping hundreds of millions of dollars in. He's stealing usernames from X users to push his America pack. He's doing this, what seems to many like election interference, and that's okay?
I guess. I mean, the DOJ is being, they're taking a stance, I suppose, and sending him a strongly worded letter. But as I posted a reply on the Blue Sedition Blue Sky account, these types of fellas don't listen to strongly worded letters. They really just don't give a shit.
They don't. So anyway, so this is breaking news. We'll see. I haven't read the actual letter yet even. I mean, so I am kind of being that person we complain about. I've read the headline. I know a little bit about it. I don't really know what the letter says or any more information than that. But certainly, even I've been asking, how is this even legal?
Yeah, we've been asking it on the show and it, you know, outside of it too.
Sure. And I mean, we're big proponents. I know both of us are big proponents of getting this big money on the left and the right out of politics.
This is just more of the problem. It's just that it used to be a blurred line after Citizens United where you could, you know, it was a little, you could, that money is speech, right? So I can fund a candidate of my choosing through a PAC or a super PAC, and I don't, you can't stop me from doing that because it's ruled free speech. Well, okay, but now that's not what Elon's doing. Elon's paying for votes. He's doing it in an underhanded way, but that's his end goal, is I would like to pay you money to join in doing this cause, and you can maybe win that money.
Right.
It just seems all the more bald-faced to me. And I feel like we're running into this problem again and again, especially since Trump won in 16, where all the norms have gone out the window. And this is allowed by everyone. Like, why are we allowing this? Like, I'm glad the DOJ sent a letter and said, like, this should not be considered legal. We probably think this is illegal. Stop doing it, etc. But I think we need a firmer stance on that. Because, yeah, I mean, they're just going to keep towing the line, right? They're going to keep drawing the line in the sand and seeing how far we'll tow the line.
And yeah, if Musk gets away, I mean, first, if Trump wins, I mean, that's it, right? Like,
well, the laws don't matter.
Yeah, I mean, the laws don't matter, and this is the blueprint. The lying from the candidate is the blueprint, basically saying, Hitler, what did Hitler even do wrong? That's now the blueprint for Republican candidates going forward, right? Like,
well, it just stands to reason that and the media is guilty of this more than anybody, but allowing Republicans to say everything they want, regardless of whether it's grounded in truth, regardless of whether it's insane or anti-American, and just not pushing them back on that. When on the other side of things, if Democrats say anything that's, well, actually, then they go out and write headlines about it. So they're complacent for certain, but for two, I mean, it's just like, there's no coming back from it. Nobody is going to rein it in if they win, because they've proven it will work. And in fact, I think we argue all the time that in 2016, Trump proved, you know, as the MVP that it would work. It's just, he was like a proof of concept. And now he's coming back with an actual blueprint and a team behind him.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what else to say on this particular subject. I have so much more to talk about. We'll see where this story goes. But the damage is already done, right? If this actually affects voter turnout in Pennsylvania, if it affects the voter registration and who people are voting for in Pennsylvania in any way, it's already been done. The damage is already
Done. The dam's broken. I agree.
Yeah.
I want to stop on that point for just a second here, because I think it is important. We're basically 2 weeks away from the general election, maybe the last election. And like you
not
said,
not hyperbole, but yeah.
Like you said, at this point in time, you can do anything. It doesn't matter if it's illegal or not, because by the time you go to show for it in court, if you go to show for it in court, maybe the damage was done enough that it swung the vote in your favor and Trump just lets you go. Like, let's say, just as a hypothetical, you know, mental exercise here, that there was some illegal thing I could do that would make sure that Trump won in 2024.
Right. Right.
And I'd do it. And yeah, okay, there's a couple of weeks left before the election, but what, you're just going to put me in detaining in a holding cell until Trump is elected, and then he'll let me out. Because the ends justify the means, right?
Right, right. Exactly. So
what's to stop people from do that? And I'm very concerned about this coming up to the election, especially with the states where they have really, you know, hindered like at-home voting, mail-in voting, absentee voting, etc., where people actually have to go and stand in line to cast their vote. What's to stop these Trump voters from going out and inciting violence, doing violence?
I would like to think that that's not a thing that you're going to get pardoned for, no matter who wins, right? Like, if Trump wins and you like shot up a line full of voters in a highly Democratic area, you know.
Sure. But let's say that we scale it back a little bit.
Okay.
Me and my MAGA buddies get in our trucks and we just drive up and down the line and we harass people and we throw trash at them.
Yeah.
We're not doing anything that really hurts anybody. The police are probably in the car with us. What is anybody going to do?
And what? And so, your point is like people are going to go home, right? People aren't going to.
People are going to go home.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Except for the guy behind you in line wearing an American flag and like pouring mustard on your shirt.
Yeah. I'd like to think that, well, first of all, we're going to go over early voting numbers in a little bit, because I have a lot that I want to talk about there.
Sure.
I think that in a lot of swing states, you can early vote. In fact, I don't think there's a single swing state you can't early vote, right?
Yeah.
A few of them.
I think Ohio is one, and maybe Georgia is similar in this way, where you have to prove some not disability, but like a reason why you can't get out and vote on that day. And I think I read, at least in one of those states, it was like you could write down, well, I have to work all day that day, so I need to be able to vote early.
Interesting.
But that's just another hurdle that right. people have to go through, have to jump to get to the polling. Get their vote counted. And so I agree, it's a good thing that these people are allowed to do early voting, but there's still a lot of hurdles in place that will keep, you know, people who aren't so politically savvy or on or turned on to politics from doing so.
Yeah. And I going back to the original point, I'm worried that there's a reason why Elon Musk is fighting so damn hard. I think I brought this up before, and I don't know what it is, but it's getting to the point where he seems to be crossing the line of what's legal and not legal. Like, he's definitely in the gray area, if not into the firmly doing illegal activities to try and get Trump elected. What?
For sure.
Why? I mean, the man is running, he's SpaceX, Tesla, X. He's got several companies to run. This isn't just about a tax break. This isn't just,
Well,
I mean, certainly it is, but he's also spending a ton of money on this, right?
Yes. So, yeah, I mean, he doesn't care about money. And I think it's worth, we'll probably have to spend an entire episode discussing money as it pertains to these extremely wealthy people, because it's not so, it's not as, it's a more abstract thing than I think a lot of people understand it to be. But he's making an investment with this.
Oh,
he doesn't
sure.
care about giving away $1 or $2 million to try and swing this boat this way, right? He's doing it because with Trump in charge, he will be the guy who got Trump in charge. And so he's expecting a return on that investment in some later
sure.
day.
Oh, for
and
sure.
And it's going to be worth a hell of a lot more than $1 or $2 million.
Oh, I mean, he's spending hundreds and hundreds of millions. But yeah, I agree. It'll be worth much more than that. Speaking
He spent $4 billion.
Is it $4 billion? Is that the number that we're...
Wasn't that what he paid for Twitter? Am I wrong about that?
44 billion.
$4 billion. Okay.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
better.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's what he spent to try and get Trump elected, because I don't see another end game to him buying Twitter other than getting his political, you know, partners into the high ranking positions.
And to be clear, Saudi Arabia and Puff Daddy spent that money on Twitter, not Elon Musk.
may not be the best partner to talk about at the moment. Maybe he's a silent partner.
I think it's a fantastic... Listen, I'm going to go with what the MAGAs would do, and I would go, great business strategy. You know this guy's going to get arrested at some point. You don't have to pay the money back.
Interesting.
Thanks for all that money, P. Diddy. I'm not paying you back. Oh, God. Okay, let's move on. There's a couple other things.
Please.
Well, there's a lot of things.
I don't want to talk about Elon or P. Diddy anymore.
Oh, great.
Then it'd be something else. I
then
can't
would you like to talk about
this?
Joe Rogan. Do you want to talk about we didn't move up. Sorry. Again, more breaking news today. First of all, you guys can... I should probably not have ads turned on when I'm sharing things, because now you guys see... What is getting advertised to me? I definitely need those men's Centrum multivitamins. So Kamala Harris today turned down Joe Rogan offered the interview on his podcast, which you know has generally been a 1 to 3 hour long form interview, and today Kamala Harris turned that down. What are your thoughts?
Well, that's not even what this article says.
Am I on the wrong article?
This says that they might turn
this,
to...
This is maybe. So this is not the updated...
this is from Friday, I guess. But did... I mean, I haven't heard that either, but you're saying... No, that's today.
Yeah. But Friday, Trump, sitting down. I don't know. Harris's campaign also spoke... Oh, that's interesting. So this does not seem to be up to date.
Yeah, I think it's the headline. The lead said that it was unconfirmed, basically, that they reached out to Kamala and said, let's do an interview. We're going to do one with Trump. And they haven't said anything about it, which I think is better than for her than the lead we used, which was that she's turned it down. I haven't seen a lot of news except this, you know, since this morning when I'm finally alive and I'm sipping my coffee and getting ready for the day. But I haven't seen anything confirmed from the Kamala camp as to whether or not she's going to do that. I still think, we said this last week, I want to say, that it would be good to get on Rogan for her, because I think that she's going to get in front of a lot of otherwise apolitical non-voter types and get her message out there. I think she, and we didn't talk about this either. She was on Bret Baier on Fox News last week, and I think she did a very good job there in standing around and really just hammering Trump on his nonsense, ostensibly. And she pushed back, and she looked good. So I'd like to see more of that. I want to get her on more shows like that where she's reaching non-like-minded individuals, I think, non-Democrats, maybe non-voters. Rogan would be a perfect platform for that.
Yeah, I'll admit, I think I got fake news. I mean, I am going, I think I got on X's, on the Everything app, in the Explore tab, there was top of the thing, Kamala Harris turns down Joe Rogan. But as I now am digging in, because I was getting the story lined up, ready, going over multiple things, as I'm digging in, every one of these breaking news is using the same image, no story, and it's all from right-wing sources.
Interesting. Now, are they publications or are they
no publications
sharing?
They're high. They're the Tim Pools on the right that are sharing this. Which, by the way, Tim Pool quitting his own podcast can't even make it into our episode today. But fantastic.
I just want to put a little bit in it, words in edgewise on that, because he said he was going to stop to focus on his family. He has no family. He is not married. He has no children. What family is he going to focus on?
He can borrow Derek Anderson. Is it Derek Anderson?
The guy who wants to be senator or whatever and hired the fake family.
He can borrow his family.
It has nothing to do with him, you know, laundering Russian millions for nothing. I'm sure it has nothing to do with that.
Yeah. No, nothing to do with that. And he's actually lost. I guess the story is he's lost at least 100,000 back or something like that. I don't know what's going on there.
Tim Pool, that he was complaining about losing all his money. He's like, I've lost so much money. I love it.
Hold on.
I'm going to rein you back in here. I want you to speak about Kamala Camp and a possible Joe Rogan. It seems like Trump has confirmed his jump in with Rogan.
He's going to go on with some other person. I don't know who it is.
But
this was supposedly confirmed a couple of weeks ago. So I don't know if that's actually, if it's still going to happen. Trump, by the way, has canceled a number of interviews. He's going on shows and he's going on these podcasts. He's cutting them early. He turns to his team. Yeah. He does this. You can watch the videos. He does this. Oh, look at, they're yelling at me, telling me it's time to go. It's time to go. And you can clearly, nobody was saying anything to him. You know, nobody says anything to him when he's doing an interview. So he's ending them early because I think he's exhausted, but he's also saying the most bizarre shit. He said on an interview, I don't know if it was with Dan Bongino. God, I hate that I'm saying all these names.
Man, you got a lot of evil in your mouth today.
I got a lot of evil. He said, and this is, I'm going to try and quote him. Harvey Weinstein got schlonged. Okay. He said Harvey Weinstein got schlonged. And I mean, what the hell are you doing? So yeah, go on Joe Rogan, go on a long format thing and just say this stupid shit over and over again. Thank you for reeling me in and then allowing me to go off course again little bit. But I can't stand Joe Rogan. And I say this as a guy who has a picture with him. You could go on my Facebook. You can see me with my arm around Joe Rogan. I enjoyed him back in the day before I knew, you know, kind of it's like I enjoyed Tulsi Gabbard. It's like,
that came out today too. They were showing before and a lot of progressive voices online were showing pictures of her this day in history. So it was like her and Bernie campaigning together in I guess it was 15 at the time. And then now it's her and Trump in 24 and you're going, oh, I hate it. I hate it so much.
I mean, she gave a fantastic speech at the DNC. I believe it was in 2016, right? Her speech was incredible. And then I was like, this Tulsi Gabbard is great, but I don't know anything about her history or anything like that. So we're like, yeah. So same thing with Joe Rogan. I was a fan because I really enjoyed some of his long form interviews, especially with very intelligent people. And I didn't listen for him. I listened for the guests that were on, right? Including Tulsi Gabbard, I think was on. Bernie Sanders has been on. He's had some great guests, but I think his audience now is so huge that not going on would be a mistake
for Kamala.
I really do.
Well, I think that it would. That's thank you. Thank you for that. I think that Kamala needs to go on. I think that she needs to reach a wider audience. And like I said at the intro, it's just she needs to get in the eyes and ears of people who are a little more politically unplugged, people who will still vote, but aren't watching news every day. That's not their primary source for using social media. Like, that's not the reason they're there. Get these people who are otherwise sort of just, I don't know what the right word is. I know that when I was younger, I considered myself sort of politically in the middle. Like I felt like I didn't have a camp.
Yeah.
And I didn't pay attention to politics a whole lot. And as I got older and I started paying attention to politics more, I realized I did have a camp, and it was certainly not the Republicans. And then as a secondary, it wasn't really the Democrats either, but there was a sure. small little chiseled out corner for me.
But I think it's very obvious. I think this has been a thing in political science for a long time, that young people are generally more liberal leaning.
Yeah,
right? And
for sure.
I use myself, even my wife, as an example. We grew up in homes where maybe their parents were a little right leaning, or say, in my wife's case, her dad would say things like, you can't vote for Democrats. Democrats kill babies, right? And it's, if you don't hear the opposing side of, no, actually, we don't kill babies, this is actually what we stand for. If you don't hear that, if you're not exposed to that, you might just grow up believing it. So I think reaching people on Joe Rogan, I don't think it's going to move the needle a ton. But I still think you have to do it. You can't just take it for granted that, oh my God, all Joe Rogan listeners are, you know, right wing or whatever. You can't do
that. Yeah.
You can't
do that. No. And I agree. I mean, so I wanted to step back and talk more about this targeted voter type, because you mentioned you and your wife grew up with right leaning parenting and probably aunts and uncles and things like that. Just your family vibe. Politically was when it right. came up, they talked about right-leaning stuff. My family was the opposite of that. We weren't allowed to have Domino's in the house, like the pizza, because in the 90s they were big funders of, oh, I'm gonna forget the name, damn, my mom used to rail about this all the time, where they funded the people who bombed abortion clinics. You remember this in the 90s, there was a bunch of abortion clinics bombed in the early 90s. Like, they would send them like fire bombs, mail bombs. And it was all from the political, but it was the same sort of thing. It was the, you know, the right, you're killing babies, so we're just gonna cut the head off at the source.
Right.
You know, the things that make perfect sense.
Right, for sure.
But I mean, so I grew up in this environment where politics wasn't discussed much, but when it was always in the vein of, you're not engaging with these right-wing lunatics. Like, that was the vibe. And so I'm curious to hear, I've already expressed for me, I grew up feeling sort of middle of the road. How did you grow up feeling, you know, in your early teens, voting years, and then shortly thereafter, like 24, we'll say, is the cutoff, 26 maybe.
The first election I remember paying attention to was Bill Clinton, right?
Sure.
And then I remember Gore. And I think by that time I already knew I was very young. I mean, I wasn't even voting age.
Right.
And I think I already knew that I was left-leaning, right?
And was it because of policy, or was it because of rhetoric? Was it the way they carried themselves and spoke?
It was just the way that they carried themselves. It wasn't based on anything. I didn't know about policy. I didn't look into policy. Mm-hmm. I didn't care. I thought Bill Clinton was cool. I think a lot of younger
Sacks. It's hard to get cooler than that.
He talked cool. He held himself well. He was well liked.
Most of his sexual assaults went
until the end. But then I'll tell you what changed me, of course, was
let's hear it.
Was 16 years ago. Was it 16? I mean, it had to be more than that. When was Obama's first run?
08. So 16, give or take. I guess he started in 15.
What Obama changed everything for me. I mean, I went full on. And by the way, if you know about me, but this will be shocking to you, I was a huge Hillary Clinton fan before Obama. Because of how
07, really?
Because of how I guess that nostalgic attachment I had to Bill Clinton, right? So of course I'm Democrat leading. Clinton's running for, would be the first female president. I was behind her early on in the primaries, and then this happened to me twice in my life, and it has nothing to do with because I'm full throated support for Kamala. It has nothing to do with it being a woman or not. Barack Obama came into the scene, and I was like, I felt I was moved. I was like, I was stunned by the way he spoke.
He speaks very well. That was his biggest thing in 2007 that I don't think a lot of people who weren't plugged in politically, but we were a little bit, once you got to hear some of his speeches as opposed to just, sound bites on the evening news or whatever, you go, oh damn, this guy plays for keeps.
Oh damn. Yeah.
And I think it's the same thing with Bill Clinton. Felt the same way with him. Looking back, he spoke so well and so passionately about everything, especially like when he was doing the assault weapons ban. He spoke so passionately on I think the Senate floor, I forget where, but I was blown away by that. And I was a kid.
You look at, but I mean, this was the personification of those two parties to me. It was Clinton and Bush. And you looked at guy who was speaking passionately, who sounded like he cared about the American people, and this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna clear Republican corporatist, right? So
yeah, well, and he was the vice for Reagan, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
So I mean, he was just basically riding the coattails of getting picked by somebody who did that thing, because Reagan was, aside from all of his various obvious downfalls, in his height, he was a great orator. He could speak, even if it was gibberish, he could speak it well and forcefully and impassionedly and make you believe it, even if it didn't make any sense.
Then
you get George Bush and you're like, this guy talks like a Poindexter. Like, I don't understand why they went from this cowboy Reagan to this nerd. And I'm a nerd, so I can say.
I mean, it was the same thing that happened with Clinton and Al Gore, right? I mean,
yes,
and then what happened to Gore?
Al Gore was monotone. He came up there, and when he spoke,
right,
he was the most boring. Like, I think he bored Tim Kaine. I don't get it.
God.
Like, why do they pick these people?
I mean, Tim Kaine running for president. I mean, that would never that'd be an absolute joke.
He's running for vice president, if you recall.
But no, I do. But I'm saying that Al Gore ran for president, and this is what happened.
Yeah,
Bush ran
yeah.
for president. He won the first time, but the second time he ran into Clinton.
So this is all a long-winded thing that I started with a hypothetical, and so I'm circling back to it. The Joe Rogan podcast. That's what I'm saying, though, is that I think that Kamala does a good job of speaking. I think that she does a really good job of sounding impassioned, and she brings the energy that you're looking for in an actual candidate. And I think that if you can get her in front of voters who just aren't turned on that way, that you can get them to at the very least think about voting for her, even if they don't do it. Like just sort of changing that default setting of, well, I'm not going to vote for her at all, maybe, or maybe I've always voted Republican, I'm just going to keep doing that, and then just you change a couple of minds in some key places and you can get surprises.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I have some friends, somebody made a Facebook post that said, there's no way I can vote for Trump, and he's a very religious person. He said, there's no way I can vote for Trump, but right. there's no way I can vote for the woman who kicked out supporters for saying like Jesus is Lord or something like that. And so
does it sound real? Was that real?
So no, it wasn't real. But that's the problem, is that framing these things that get in front of them are swaying them. They're persuading them. So get in front of them. That's the only way to do it.
I mean, you're still gonna have a lot of these talking heads who are gonna say things that are that sort of back and forth, like they presume something simple and seemingly true to make a point, right? I mean, you're talking about grifters is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the name of the guy. I think he was like a state senator, or maybe he was a representative, and he had gotten on his burner account, and he's like, or he thought he was on his burner account. He's like, proud black man, I can never, you're just like, what are you, you're a white guy. And he's like, oh, my intern forgot. They always say that.
But. Right. Yeah. I forgot who that was. And I'm not the most recent one, which was actually a joke.
You shared that with me. That was pretty funny. I got caught by that.
Yeah.
Running for like the California 54 in California plus one.
Plus one.
Yeah, they were like, what?
Yeah. Okay. So to wrap this segment up, by the way, there are some people that are saying, you know, going on this show would take away from her being where she needs to be in the swing states. And I don't know if I can agree with that. It's a couple hour show at best.
And Rogan's in California, right?
He's California. Here. But I mean, so, you're flying your jet.
She's from here. She's going to be back here a couple of times anyway. I think you can chisel out an afternoon for it.
Yeah.
I agree that over the next 2 weeks, I better see a lot of her in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Georgia, Ohio.
She is. I'm you're being
sick. I'm going to put, if I'm on her campaign, though, I'm putting walls to a lot of that northern Midwest states. I'm going to have him do the bulk of the heavy lifting there just because he's more like the local guy. And I think that carries really well there. I think that he's been doing a really good job of, for some reason, being allowed to say stuff that would usually land Dems on the front page of saying like inflammatory stuff. Like he's cursing.
Yeah.
He's like, well, this is all bullshit. And everybody's like, wow, he speaks it like it is. And we're like, if she said that, you would nail her to a post.
Oh, I don't for understand sure. She'd get crucified. But
I think just leave him up there, let him keep campaigning those states and try and bring in the votes, you know, stumping away. I think that's the right plan.
Well,
have her go down to Georgia where she can probably turn some heads, have her try and do some stuff in Ohio or definitely Pennsylvania, which is still in play. Wait, is Pennsylvania in play?
Pennsylvania, we need Pennsylvania. All she needs is Pennsylvania and Michigan. And that's it. With the game over.
With the presumption of Wisconsin, Nevada, Arizona, one from Nebraska, one from, or three out of four from Rhode Island.
From Maine.
Maine.
Yeah, three out of four from Maine, one from the, you don't need Arizona, Nevada, North Carolina.
If you get Pennsylvania.
If you get Pennsylvania and Michigan, it's over. Okay. And if you can't win Michigan when you got
Tim Walz.
When you've got, well, no, Tim Walz is Minnesota.
No, I'm saying he plays well northern Midwest states.
But I'm saying you just did a rally there last night with Eminem, with Barack Obama.
Which is bizarre to me.
He's from Detroit.
For just 1 second.
He's from Detroit. And
I know he's from Detroit.
He's very politically active. I mean, he's put out full raps. You know, against Trump. So he is.
I mean, I'm going to age myself, but okay. I was a coming of age person when Eminem was rapping about us invading like Iraq and Afghanistan and stuff. And so I'm well aware of his his lyrical challenges.
So what are you confused by?
I just, it's one thing to rap about, you know, the atrocities of war and like your people, the people, you know, going and enlisting in the army and being gunned down overseas and what have you from your cohort, like your group of your age of people, like people, you know,
sure,
dying and war. And then you just being against it because it's so horrible. And then there's another thing of being like a well-known rapper coming out and being like, I stand for a presidential candidate. It's very strange to me. I can't think of the last time.
Social security is important to him because he's getting older, man. I mean, these things are important. So
yeah, you think Dre's taking the big cut out of the Beats by Dre? Eminem's like, man, I gotta get mic check.
I mean, Dre for real. Dre's had didn't he have a stroke last year? I mean, the man needs his Medicaid. He needs his, you know. So, But my point being, if you can't win Michigan,
though, swing states, sure.
One guy's touring with Hitler. The other guy's touring with Eminem, Barack Obama, the other woman, you know, and Eminem being from Detroit. I mean, if you can't win Michigan, man, I don't even understand what the hell is happening.
Right. Here, right.
You know,
so I'm bringing up 270 to win because it's my go-to at the maps right now.
Right.
So Michigan, Illinois, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, they are currently pegged.
We're right here. I got it up blue on the screen here. Right.
It can't be right. What is this from?
No, so I'm gonna turn. I'm gonna turn this red. This red. I'm gonna turn this red. I'm gonna turn this blue. I guess I need to turn hard red to get the electorals for him.
Yeah, otherwise.
Oh no, it still adds them all up, right?
It's okay. Counting them.
Yeah. And I'm gonna turn this blue.
And show me what happens.
And we're at 260.
That's what I'm saying.
Wait, what am I missing? 260
is not enough. I think Wisconsin is polling light blue right now.
Oh, I think that's leaning. I think okay.
So I think that's the number.
Yes, this is where I had it before. It was 270 to 268.
Yeah. In fact, when you just do a hard refresh of the site, it shows you, I believe, the current polling. So it's got Minnesota in light blue in that leans column. It's got Virginia in light blue for reasons I will never understand.
Oh, Virginia's going blue, no question. That's interesting.
Really?
Oh, I Virginia think so. Does? Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, aren't they?
I thought it was like change here. Yeah.
I thought it was like +10 recently.
Yeah. Maybe you're right. Virginia went blue in 2020. So did Pennsylvania, which was nice. And then Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota. Maybe you're getting the same map. Well, I don't. It's not really important.
Well, while we're talking about this.
Yeah, okay, that's what it's doing. It's not using polling. What it's doing is in the 2024 default it's given you is how those states voted in the 2020 election.
Well, then what's this change map?
Although that can't be right either because I didn't run Georgia. So I think it's just showing you maybe polling.
Yeah, I think it is. Oh no, this change map is the number of electorals that have changed.
Yeah, that one is how the electoral votes have changed as a result.
That must be nice. That must be nice. Okay,
it's two votes. Doesn't really matter.
So actually, it kind of does matter.
It's three
when you're talking like 270 to 268. It does matter.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go here. So I want to talk about early voting in the battleground states by party registration. And that's a very important distinction that people need to listen to when they're freaking out about the numbers that are coming in. But there's a couple of things that are going on right now is that we're seeing numbers coming in. People are upset that the Dem turnout is lower as compared to what it was in 2020. But there's, holy crap, everybody, there's a very specific reason for that. Have we all forgotten a global pandemic where
Was it difficult to get to a polling place in 2020 without risking some sort of adverse health effect?
Yeah, you think, do you remember that? You don't remember that? So every single Dem, because it was all of the Dems that cared about social distancing and being safe, they all, but now, and I'm hearing from even people I know, I want to go to the polls. Okay. And like,
really?
Yeah. I mean, people, I don't know what it is with some people.
That's very strange. I just, as a counterpoint to that, we live in different areas in Southern California, obviously.
I'm talking about people from Massachusetts, by the way.
You're talking about
my family and friends are, I have a lot of them back there. So, yeah.
So in Southern California, we've been voting by mail for like 40 years.
It's the greatest
voting thing. Voting by mail. And in 2020, I think it was 2020. It could have been earlier, but it's the first time I ever noticed it. There were polling drop-off boxes, which I'm never going back from. I will continue ensuring that drop boxes are safe and effective in our state forever. Because I get the mail-in ballot. It's an official ballot. It's labeled. It's mine. It's got a serial number and everything so they can check it. I fill it out, and at my leisure, I walk it down to the drop box, throw it in the slot like it's a mailbox, and then I don't have to think about it anymore. And then California does a poll tracker. I got an email receipt that said that my vote was counted, which if you want to talk about voter disenfranchisement, this is a way to enfranchise voters. Like, this is what you should do. You should be telling people you voted, we counted it.
Right. Exactly. Instead
of, like, I know in years past, I would cast a vote. I had no idea.
Right.
Like, did I put it in the mailbox. Did that actually get delivered? Did the mailman throw it down the gutter? Because, you know, USPS. But anyway.
Yeah.
What are you showing me here?
Okay. So I've been using this map a lot It just updated, I think, probably several million. I'd have to go back. It's just like just in real time. So this is by registration, the amount of mail-in and early in-person votes that have been requested. Okay.
Requested or turned in?
Requested. Let me see if it does break it down.
I mean, yeah, PA and Virginia then looking pretty solidly blue in that regard.
Yeah. And by the way, so this is, God damn with these ads. So this is... this is not only requested, yes, and you'll see the numbers are higher for Democrats, but also the return rates are also always higher. Every single one that I've checked,
yeah,
it's always higher for Democrats as well. So people are getting a little worried with the numbers that they're seeing. They're seeing a very big uptick in, or I guess downtick really, in, look at those numbers. It's changing.
Yeah, I saw that. It updated. Live. I think it switched states. I don't think it was on Oregon a moment ago.
Oh, okay. Maybe that was it.
I think it may just be updating as more results come in, but
yeah,
it's interesting.
And I had another site that had kind of the who actually returned them, but I don't know where that one is right now. But the point I want to make on that is that people are freaking out about this. So keep in mind, 2020, yeah, dude, freaking, we had a pandemic. Okay.
We did have a pandemic.
More Democrats voted early by mail, et cetera, than I think they will this year. Secondly, Stephen Miller, you may know Nazi Stephen Miller.
Yeah, Nazi Stephen Miller.
Alleged Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
I think
come after me. You're a Nazi, Stephen.
He's pushed the Republican base to vote early. In the past, he has said, voting early is a threat to democracy, blah, blah, blah. For whatever reason, for the past month or so, he's been pushing Republicans to get out and vote early, get their vote, quote unquote, banked. So I think there are a lot more Republicans that are showing up to early vote now. Those same Republicans are the ones that would normally go to the polls. So don't double count that vote.
They're not new voters.
Right.
In fact, The numbers we see from registration counts is that there are a lot more additional voters from 2020, but these are natural age-in voters. We're not expecting random 30-year-olds to show up, but 20, 21, 22, et cetera,
right,
who are becoming more politically minded. And as you pointed out earlier, by and large, those numbers tend to favor blue to red, sort of like a 2-to-1 majority.
Right.
Maybe not quite that much. Maybe more like a 3-to-4 or a... you know, a little more than
half, 1.5-to-1, maybe.
Right.
Yeah. And by the way, yeah, there was new voter registration data that I'm trying to find right now that was showing that Democrats had a significant lead in that. But I want to go back to this just because it's really, really important. First of all, if you're freaked out, you better vote. Like anybody who's freaked out right now.
Yeah, let's just take a pause here and just say, if you haven't voted already, please go vote. We don't care who you vote for. We don't care how you vote. As long as you vote and make your voice heard.
I care.
Nate and I both voted. Our families have voted. We do this for everybody. Please take the time. Pause it. Come back and listen.
My 6-year-old has voted. Like we have all voted. So
we've all voted several times.
Several times. Vote. No, please follow the law, right?
Yeah.
But vote, okay?
But vote.
Multiple Arizona Trump supporters agree Democrats are the enemy within. Fantastic.
Boy, you need to stay off of the live updates up there. That's gonna. Well, although Insane Clown Posse,
ICP endorses Harris. I wanted to. Wow. Okay.
Maybe Harris explained to them how magnets work.
Can I say while we're talking about the ICP and whatever. And people on the right are saying, we don't care if about celebrity endorsements. And then they get all excited when fucking Rob Schneider makes an endorsement.
He's not a celebrity. That makes sense.
Any celebrity that is staying quiet right now, who like, for instance, if you're voting for Kamala Harris and you're staying quiet, right, they can go fuck themselves.
I have a question about that. Do we have a stance from prominent celebrities who are usually loud? Like, has Oprah endorsed Kamala as an example?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, it isn't as if there's indecision from any of these celebrities out there in the world. It's just, you're saying if you're, I don't know, somebody and you just haven't picked a stance publicly, then you're a coward.
Go fuck yourself. Yeah.
Go fuck. Oh yeah. You said, I'm sorry.
I said, go fuck yourself. And I'm going to repeat it several times. Taylor Swift has Taylor Swift. If Kamala wins, you could probably thank Taylor Swift, in my opinion. You're going to look
at, I think that a lot of things will, if she wins, I think a lot of things will pile up in her favor. Taylor Swift, chief amongst them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sorry, but there are people out there. So like Geraldo Rivera, right? Geraldo Rivera, nut job, Fox News anchor, who was, you know, anything that Trump said, he would fight to make it, he would spin it. He was always in that spin room. Okay.
Right.
He comes out and endorses Kamala Harris. And people go, does that move the needle? Fucking it does. Because here's why. There is at least one person, you cannot tell me, among, you know, 180 million or however many eligible voters there are, there is at least one person going, God damn, that.
Well, I agree. I think that that's a very important note, is that, you know, getting any message out is worth doing, because it's always going to be, it might change the mind of one person, but it sort of rolls back to her going on Fox News, Kamala going on Fox News, going on Joe Rogan. I'm like, you need to be able to reach these people who you might be able to change the mind of, or who have no horse in the race as far as they're concerned. And then you get,
and then your favorite actor says, but this is what I mean. There's a, you know, I'm not going to say this is true of my wife, but I'm my wife's mom, but I'm thinking of people like her, which nobody knows what she's like. So I'm trying, just there are people out there who are sitting around, who are not, they're not really, they don't really, like you said, they don't have a horse in the race. And then fucking Stevie Nicks endorses Kamala, and you go, huh, okay, well, I'm a huge Stevie Nicks fan, you know?
And that's what I'm saying. I think that we, you and I, and a lot of progressives in general, we tend to get into this spin room problem of independence sort of being not, I shouldn't put it this way, we don't look favorably on independence a lot of the time, because we like to say things like, well, how can you not have an opinion on this? And I think that we forget, or we purposefully ignore sometimes, that a lot of these quote independent people are really just people who don't want to get into the drama of politics, don't want to be inundated and crushed by, you know, what we're crushed by.
They don't want to hear it. They don't.
We had to start a podcast because of how upset we were with the political system in this
country. Well, it's just because you and I talk for hours about it, and we're like, just hit the fucking record button while we
play. Yeah, exactly. But I do think that there are a lot of people out there, like you say, who are just like, I don't want to be a part of it. It seems like it's just, there's so much vitriol, and it's hot, and I don't want it. And then they hear, like you said, Stevie Nicks or Taylor Swift or somebody else coming, and they're like, this person's important to vote for, please vote for them if you're going to vote. And that'll move a number of people that's non-zero.
Good. Oh, yeah.
I think that by and large, we should be talking more with one another about voting and who is the right candidate.
Yeah.
This is an anecdote, but I got into a discussion with a Republican friend of a friend, basically. And we were talking about voting in California specifically. And I know for a fact that we're not going to see eye to eye. And I find those conversations challenging. I find them uncomfortable. I don't want to be a part of it. But he says something like, you know, like, oh, because he saw me with my mail-in ballot. And he says, oh, you voted. I did that and blah, blah, blah. And he says, who did you vote for? And I said, well, and I started off with like, I don't want to be a part of this. And he goes, well, you know, it's Southern California, so it kind of doesn't really matter if you vote for Trump or you vote for Harris. And I turned to him and I looked him dead in the eye and I said, well, I'm sure as hell not voting for Trump. And I think that I was just reminded, like, you need to be able to say these things to people that you disagree with and still be able to have civil conversations.
Yeah.
And I feel like in recent years, it feels like as a Democrat, largely, like, you can't do that anymore.
You can't.
Like, you can't talk to a Republican face to face and just be like, I disagree, I'm not voting for that person.
So my aunt,
you're afraid they're gonna hit you or shoot you or something.
My aunt has told me in the past, I've been very political for the past, you know, probably 16 years, if not a little bit longer.
Yeah, probably half our lives.
That, hey, you need to run. You need to run for office. You need, and my response every time is, I have a family. because I don't want death threats. I don't want to get hurt. Now, I mean, running a left-leaning podcast is probably kind of similar, but not as, you know, in front of people's faces or whatever. But man, that's one of my first thoughts is I'm worried about my family's safety. I can't talk to people.
No, and the problem is that we see all these stories coming out about the political right, their voter base being so willing to go out and do heinous acts. We were talking about the FEMA workers last week who were trying to help through the hurricanes that were, you know, beset the southeast, and they're getting death threats from random Republican voters because they read online that they're withholding funds or they're out of money or whatever the, you know, nonsense was. And it's all untrue. And these FEMA workers are like, I'm just trying to get people to safety and get them some water and some food. And they're sending like death threats to my family. So, I mean, I don't know how you're supposed to engage with people across the aisle when that's what's across the aisle. So I think that there's a problem there. Now, luckily, the flip side of this, we're going to rein it back in here because I think we're going down a long, twisting road here. But I do have a lot of Republican, like family members and close friends and things that I talk to in and outside of California. And I think that it gets lost that a lot of people are just people. And a lot of them that I talk to have at least expressed, like, I can't vote for Donald Trump in this election. He's too far, too extreme, and he's just, you know, kind of a bad person seeming. And so they're abstaining. I know these people are just not going to vote. And so my hope is that they're going to take a small sliver out of those red chunks you see there who have received their mail-ins or what have you, and they're just going to hold them, and the vote will come and go, and they won't be counted because they cannot sign off on that.
That was the final point I wanted to make on this was, even though you're seeing that red sliver there, I am seeing, again, anecdotal, few people here and there, but it has to represent a bigger slice. I'm seeing Republicans say, I am a registered Republican, and I just voted for a Democrat president for the first time in my life. I do not think that, I think the number of registered Republicans voting for Kamala will be much, much, much bigger than the number of registered Democrats voting for Trump.
I would hope so.
I mean, I can't imagine it not being. Like, if you're a Trump supporter, I mean, there's no way you relate to the Democrats in any way.
Right. Yeah. I'm okay. You're seeing it. It has to exist at the very least in some capacity. I don't know what that number is, but
right.
I'm not seeing any of that. What I'm seeing is registered Republicans going, I can't be partisan. Part of this party at the moment, the party of Trump is not the Republican Party that I signed up for.
Sure.
And they're just abstaining.
Yeah.
And the good news there is that I think particularly in California, you're going to see a lot of down ballot issues win on the Democrat side because so many Republicans think that the elections are rigged and there's no point in voting in California because blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, I'm hoping it's a tide that we're going to see a lot of these people just giving up.
Yeah. I mean, I'm worried that, well, I'm thankful that that top box won't be circled one way or the other, but I do think that a lot of Republicans are still voting Republican down ballot.
Sure.
I think there's a little bit of that too, but yeah, I mean, I'm seeing a lot of, I'm in Georgia. This is the first time in my life I've ever voted for a Democrat, registered Republican. There is so many Republican officials, whether they be former Trump officials or just lifelong Republicans.
Part of his cabinet.
Part of his cabinet. Or lifelong Republicans that have come out and endorsed Kamala Harris. Gerald Ford's daughter, Liz Cheney, those types of people that are endorsing Kamala, that that has to make a difference.
Yeah. I want you to be right.
I'm trying to find a little sliver of hope because I look at the polls and I go, how is this even possible? We haven't even touched on the Atlantic article today. I think we're pretty close to time for our episode here, but it's like, how is it? It's the meme that goes around where it's like, you know, everybody gets a puppy, you know, and then the other side of it is everyone gets diarrhea for the rest of their lives. And it's like
forever. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like puppy is like plus one. And he's like, how is it this close? I just don't get it.
You do. You touched on it a moment ago. It's tribal politics as per usual. And I think that there are a lot of people who just do vote and they vote, you know, for their team, red or blue. And then they don't pay attention. They don't care who is whatever, as long as their team is winning.
Yeah.
I think both sides have that problem. And I think that's why there are, you know, about a third of the country who are independents, or registered independents, such a third of the voter base that are registered independent. And then so many apolitical people who simply do not register to vote because they're like, oh, this is bizarre to me. All right, what do you got here?
All right, data. So one last thing I want to look at is I just wanted to look at some poll data. This is Michigan 2024. One of the things I want to call out is, yeah, there's a lot of red here, but like Fabrizio and all that garbage.
Rasmussen, and Atlas, yeah.
You know.
Rasmussen does a lot of push polling for the Republicans, and if they can't get better than a tie, then that's not a good sign.
Well, I want to point out Quinnipiac, who a couple weeks ago was with a slightly smaller sample size was plus four Trump, yeah, is now plus four Harris. So I mean, there's I'm sure somebody you know who is good at looking at this information could probably give a reason as to why that is. Maybe you know it was different areas. We're not digging deep into these polls. But,
I mean, that's 2 weeks difference. I wouldn't have thought that would have mattered nearly as much.
Look at the
Rasmussen polls. The Rasmussen polls and the Trafalgar groups all have Trump at plus one or two, pretty much across the board from the last month.
Plus two.
Rasmussen got a tie in the middle of September when obviously Harris was pushing hard.
Right.
So I don't know, but I think that it sort of shows to go here that goes to show here no, that
I like shows to go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That, these polling numbers as we get closer and closer are going to matter less and less. I think that the returns are going to matter more, obviously, as we get closer. We're in 2 weeks out.
But can I just point out these numbers right here, Michigan, this day in history, Biden was plus 8.1 and Clinton was plus 11.
Right.
If that doesn't scare the shit out of you, man.
That was on the average, though. And they have Trump at plus 0.6. And again, I think that we have more right-leaning push pollsters than we had in the years past.
Man, you are optimistic. Let's just click. I think these are clickable, so let's click and prove that. Fox, Trafalgar.
Had Trump at plus 2. Point out.
Wait, this is but the final result was.
Yeah, he won Michigan. That was one of the problems with the Clinton campaign. Oh,
that was the Clinton one. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that was one of the problems with the Clinton campaign is that she stopped going
exactly. I didn't mean to click on Clinton.
So look at Biden. Biden's a better example because he actually won it by 2.8.
So Emerson has Biden plus 7.
Trafalgar again. I mean, these guys are they're so unscrupulous. That's why you can't trust the averages, is because these are the types of groups. You don't even have Rasmussen in here. They didn't even bother polling Michigan's because they knew that should be a Biden holdout.
Yeah, and that, there's a few in here that are.
And then they see, what's the average? Go back up to the average. The average across there was what? Plus four, plus five. Okay. And then the actual was plus 2.8. And I think that they learned from 2020. They're like, wow, this state's more in play than we thought. So they started putting out more push polling across the board. I'm not completely sold. If I take out the groups that I believe to be, you know, ridiculous partisan push polling think tanks like Rasmussen, like Trafalgar, like some of those, then I think that it's probably still a Harris state, but it's definitely hers to lose in my view.
And then you look at it, you look at Georgia. Trump won it in 2016.
Yeah.
Biden won it barely in 2020, but man, yep. nothing but red here. And so Trump was plus four in 2016.
Yeah. And then Biden won it.
Well, that was, this is 2016 though.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I thought you said 20.
Yeah. And see, let's see what the polling numbers were in. I wish I would put a better view here. Like the final and the average. So again,
yeah, I mean, he was plus one going into it over the average, and then Biden turned it. So, I mean, it's a coin flip in those.
Amazing how good the, I wonder if they altered this after the fact, like got rid of some of the bad polling to make the average look closer to the final result, because the averages and the final results are really close.
Maybe they only take in a certain select few. If you scroll down, do you see more? Yeah, there you go. Do you have any from like Rasmussen? I don't see.
Yeah, like here's PPP. And no, I see PPP up there. WSP.
Yeah, a bunch of Quinnipiacs. I see Trafalgar. I mean, I don't, but you can see that they've got their political affiliation leanings on there.
PPP's
obviously Dem. Yeah. Trafalgar's obviously red or R.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't see any Rasmussen yet. I see a Fox News one, but so they must have some, you know.
Probably the point of all this is don't look at the polling, get out and vote, right?
Like, at this point in time, for sure. Polling can make you happy or make you scared. It's like looking at the stock market day to day. I don't think it's worth, you know, the heart attacks it'll cause.
Yeah. And we don't have the internal polling numbers that they really
look at. No.
Those are the ones that you care about, and you'll never see those.
Yeah. Makes me wonder how they conduct those, though.
I know. It is interesting. Maybe we should, I want to do a little digging into that, because I'm actually interested in that. So I will ask this final question before we wrap for today. I tweeted it out yesterday or the day before. There is a journalist who says that he has been receiving information in the last week, a credible journalist, saying that he's been receiving information in the last week that, if true, would end Trump's campaign. And my response to that was, you can't even make up a story that I think would end Trump's campaign. So my question to you is, can you give me a story that you think would end Trump's campaign?
No. I mean, the takeaway here is that Trump believes, and his voter base certainly agrees, and his sycophants definitely parrot behind him, that he can shoot someone in the face on Fifth Avenue and be elected president. So if the story was, you know, in 2020, he shot somebody in the face on Fifth Avenue, yeah, that would disqualify most people from being president, but he would go on.
He would go
on. Be water off a duck.
He'd go on.
Doesn't matter.
Some people have said, we can look at some of the replies. Some people to me have said, well, I guess I'm not sharing it right now, but he got Laura Loomer pregnant. That'd be hilarious. But nope, who currently supporting him? Who the man who paid off a porn star while his wife was pregnant is going to care about getting Laura Loomer?
Yeah, I mean, convicted rapist, asterisk there, but
adjudicated not by much. Rapist. Okay,
yeah. I don't like that word. That means he was like tried and found guilty, but we haven't sentenced him yet.
The judge clarified.
I can't just call him a rapist.
Just call him a rapist.
Just call him a rapist, convicted rapist, done.
So yeah, the only thing I could come, somebody made up a good point. They said, he said end his campaign. He didn't say it meant that we would end his campaign, like the voters would end his campaign. He said end his campaign, meaning like, okay, cancer, like he drops, like maybe it means something where he would end his campaign.
Oh, I can hear the hope in your voice.
No, there's no hope. I can't even, because even if he were dying, I think he would do this on his deathbed.
Right. You know, the only thing that comes to mind is something we wrote about on the Blue Sedition blog. Go check it out if you haven't, by the way. BlueSedition.com. We've got blogs. We write about current topics as well. We dive in a little bit. And again, on the blog, we like to cite our sources. We like to be very transparent about where we get our information and how we reason about how we think about politics. And we wrote about the mental elephant in the room. We were talking about Trump and his fitness for office. I think that there is a timeline, or, you know, a world in which I could believe that he's lost a step and he is mentally slipping away from us, from humanity, from reality. And maybe there was like a leaked document from a doctor saying that he's like suffering signs of Alzheimer's or something to like that effect.
Advanced
Alzheimer's. And I could see, because I've watched West Wing, how that could end an election.
But I mean,
now, that was a mess, but it's the same idea here, where if there's some internal mumblings, or there was a doctor, or there was something that says, you know, you need to stop campaigning because your Alzheimer's is starting to become quite noticeable and quite a problem. And if that doctor's leak were to become public, I could see that in a world where facts matter and a campaign.
But this isn't that world, right?
I don't believe we live in that world. No. But that could be the type of thing that I believe maybe this journalist might have an inkling to.
It would have to be shown with Trump actually, like, he would have to stop campaigning, right? Like, he would have to stop holding rallies, because otherwise people who are watching his rallies are okay with the way he's acting at these rallies.
Yeah. And we don't have time to dig into this today, but there is a new conspiracy theory out there that I think is taking the left by storm now. And it's related to this. I think that Trump's sycophants, in particular J.D. Vance, the idea here is we're going to get him elected, going to apply the 25th.
Right. Sure.
And then I will be president, and I don't have to give in to Trump nonsense anymore. And then it'll be more fascist nonsense, but it won't be Trump at the helm because his brain isn't working.
Well, I think the best case scenario for them, what those people, those conspiracy theorists want, is like 2 years of Vance so that he can run two more times, and Trump to do all the crazy shit up front in the first 2 years. And then
remove the guardrails. Right. Yeah,
exactly.
But I think it might speak more toward this cognitive decline we're seeing from him, his inability to speak, you know, at length, particularly
it's just like Joe Biden, man. I let's be honest, in my opinion,
I agree. And we cover that in this article here, where we do a decent job of pointing out that Biden was still is having many of the same sort of, verbal and thought slip ups.
Yeah.
That we were seeing. Not as bad as Mitch McConnell seeing the demons, but
I mean, he's getting close to that, unfortunately. But my point there was that Democrats, it didn't matter to them, right? Because stopping Donald Trump was really the only way. And
go ahead.
I can't put myself in a MAGA shoe, but they feel the same way. If they found out that Trump was, you know, struggling cognitively, it wouldn't matter to them, because to them, just stopping the left's crazy woke agenda is all that matters, and they would still vote.
Okay. But I want to take one step back, and I want to remind you of something you said earlier, which is if you're a celebrity, haven't come out with an endorsement,
I know.
Fuck you, right? That was your quote.
Yeah.
Okay. So
go
if you're
fuck yourself was my
go quote. Fuck yourself. Okay. Excuse me.
Yeah.
If you are a journalist and you're sitting on the story that, you know, a doctor was telling Trump that his Alzheimer's is too bad and it's rendering him not able to be the leader, the executive in chief, and you're sitting on that, I need you to go fuck yourself as hard as humanly possible. You are ruining this country, specifically you.
It's same with John Kelly. The moment he said, I wish I had generals like Hitler, John Kelly resigns and tells the world, why are we hearing about this now? Why are you waiting for book sale? Like, what is happening?
Generals and people working in his cabinet stuff, I understand, because you can be that guardrail. And if you resign, he's going to replace you with a sycophant who won't say no.
Which is what's going on.
But
right
if you're, now. If you are a member of the free press in this country, where that is like our highest of high for free speech, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, maybe he's verifying sources and all of that crap, but I mean, why has it been a week? I mean, I don't know.
So I suspect he has nothing. But if he has something and it's a bombshell, like he claims, he needs to come forward before the election. What are you doing?
Well, we are.
You need to get this into the eyes and ears of people who can be swayed, who can be reasonably understood to think about the election and the ramifications thereof. You need
Christ,
to get people who haven't voted to vote. You need to get people who are just voting for a team to see that there is a greater good.
Yeah, I mean, we are less than 2 weeks away. I mean,
thanks. I hate it.
A lot of people have already banked that vote too. So Jesus. Anyway, you know, we're probably going to come back in 3 days or so, whenever our next podcast is, and it's going to be four new insane stories. Literally every time we turn around, it's crazy right now. So, I guess I want to remind everybody, first of all, we have a Blue Sky account, at Blue Sedition. We have a Twitter account, or X, the Everything app account, which is basically just social media. We have a blog on blue-sedition.com. What else we got? We got this podcast.
We got the podcast on all of the various ways to listen to and watch podcasts. We've got the YouTube channel. We're going to remind that we're going to try and do a live video production of election night 2024. It should be, God, I hope it's not terrible.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. And drop us a line, you know, leave comments, do the likes, do the subscribes, all that sort of thing. Anything that you think, if you've got questions or comments you want to address, we'll address them on the show.
Yeah. All right. Thanks everyone for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.
Cheers.